It's Plastic-Free July, a time for daring consumers to see if they can go without plastic packaging for a full 4 weeks. Now, that might be too radical for the average shopper, but if you're interested in cutting back on your reliance on plastic, what steps can you take? Well, joining me now to share some is eco-activist and sustainability expert Emily Ellers. Hey there, Emily.
Oh, hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Are you plastic-free?
Virtually. I did one of the first Plastic-Free Julys. It actually started in Perth, so it's an amazing thing that it's a global movement now. But that was back in 2012. Since then, I have kind of given myself a tiny break because I'm a mum of small kids. But I do my very best and I'm pretty much plastic-free.
Yeah, right. I guess as the movement spreads and it gets more popular and you know, some stores phase out certain plastics, it must get easier. But I bet it's been quite a journey.
It really has. It's been a big learning experience, but I've approached it with curiosity and good humour because otherwise it can just get very overwhelming. So I've just kind of led with my curiosity and just discovered all these new ways to do it all. But it's definitely more well known now and much easier to do.
What are your concerns about plastic and why is it that you endeavour to be plastic free?
You see the damage that it's doing in the marine environment and not just the marine environment either, on land as well. And, I mean, we've all seen the images of whales and turtles with straws in their noses, and that's terrible. But even the health implications of it, with the BPA being packaging our food, I mean, BPA has been found in breast milk and tissues now, and it's a neuro disruptor. So the health of the planet and the health of us as well.
Yeah, and why cut back on plastic when you could maybe recycle it?
I think that's a good question, and a lot of people think that recycling's the answer, but it's a great place to start, but a terrible place to stop. Recycling, we really just need to reduce the consumption of plastic, or all resources really, but plastic in particular. And I think this was really highlighted when China, a year or two ago, said they weren't going to take the world's recycling anymore. And we actually had to look at how much waste had been produced and figure out ways to deal with it ourselves.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Not all of the stuff that you put in the recycling ends up being recycled. So, yeah, it makes sense to just kind of cut back from the start. What do we do? Where do we start?
I think the easiest place to start is the common single-use plastic items like the coffee cups and straws, bags, all those things. Putting together yourself a little kind of plastic-free kit that you can kind of pick up and take with you when you go out. And that's a really good one to kind of take out a chunk of it and give yourself a bit of a boost of energy because you've done well already. And then it's just kind of going room by room and just seeing where it kind of creeps into your life and figuring out ways to just kind of cut that down.
Right. So what about the kitchen?
So kitchen, obviously, most food comes in plastic. So I go to a bulk or refill store. That's not available to everyone, especially in like regional areas. So when to cut down, buying in bulk at least, opting for cardboard if you can. But if you are going to get plastic, get the bigger plastics. Like instead of getting the small like microwave rice, getting the 2 kilo sack of it instead.
Oh, I see. And then things like cling wrap. Is there, could you use like wax wraps or something like that instead?
You can do that. I think we've got to look back at what our grandparents did because they had it down pat. So even just the other day, I made up a big bowl of salad and then I just put a plate on top of the bowl. There's wax wraps, of course, and that's brilliant. Or just putting the food that's been cooked in the pot once it's cooled down in the fridge.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's all stuff that we've got in our homes already. Like, it's not this thing that we necessarily need to go out and buy these Fandangle zero-waste things. We can just kind of improvise.
A lot of plastics in the bathroom and laundry as well. What do you reckon about that? It's almost impossible, I feel, to avoid it.
That one definitely is harder. And that's where I've had to start making my own products. If you have access to a bulk store, they do have detergents and things like that you can get there. But I found that making your own stuff, you only need a few ingredients, really. Like even my all-purpose cleaner is just old lemon peels or any citrus peels left to soak in vinegar for 2 weeks. And then I strain it out and dilute it half with water. And that's a great cleaner.
Hmm.
curiosity and trying it out, making your own stuff.
What about washing machine detergent?
So that is one that I've stopped recommending people try making their own because it has been shown to kind of damage the washing machines, which you don't want, obviously. So if you don't have access to a refill store, I just recommend getting one of the filters, like minimizing the microfiber waste that comes from our washing, our clothes washing. And you can get these filters that attach onto your washing machine. And they range from $40, I think they start at. And they work as a filter that stops the microfibers getting out into our waterways.
And then I guess just reusing things and finding new crafty ways to use things that maybe you're going to chuck out.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's about extending the life cycle of anything that comes into your home. Pasta, I store most of my leftovers in pasta sauce jars and things like that. It's just really looking at things and just not having this kind of disposable culture where we can just kind of think that if we throw it away, that it's gone, because that the saying goes, when you throw something away, there is no away. It's going to end up somewhere.
Absolutely. And do you think, I mean, South Australia has been a front runner in creating policy change, you know, since the 80s. We've had the deposit bottle scheme. We also now have legislation in effect, which is cutting back on single-use plastics and banning them. Do you think that governments need to play a big role in this? Because it's all very well for individuals to make big changes, but really industry often is the polluter at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I'm very wary of there's a lot of people that kind of try and make the plastic-free perfect and doing it perfectly. But I see a tremendous amount of people burning out because of it, putting the weight of the world on their shoulders. But really, we do need policy change, and we do need the larger corporations to jump on board and start making it easier for us. And luckily, we are seeing that happen now.
Great. Well, I really appreciate your time today, Emily. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you.
Emily Ellers is a sustainability expert. She's also got a delightful picture book out called Hope is Verb, Six Steps to Radical Optimism When the World Seems Broken. It is definitely worth checking out. It's for adults, but kids love it too. And I'm going to find out more about that from her in a couple of weeks' time. We'll have a chat about it then.